Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We have to do this. I've been dying to do this all bleeding morning. Yeah, the theme song to the iconic TV sitcom Father Ted. It actually ran for just three series from 1995 until 1998. And it was judged by a panel of comedy experts, whoever they are, to be the second best sitcom of all time, only being beaten by Fawlty Towers. But what was it about this show, set in a parochial house in Craggy Island, that connected so deeply to so many people, both Irish and British? Cormac Battle is here to discuss all. Cormac.
Yes. I'm fantastic. Like yesterday, I was going through putting some clips together for this, and I haven't watched Father Ted in a long time, and I would sort of, I would have dismissed it slightly in recent times because it's on all the time. You know, you go up the dial on your TV channels, and you'll find Father Ted on one of the channels, and I've never really stopped since I watched it originally to watch one again. But having put this together, I've really had another. I'm going
to
watch them all again.
You have
as
to.
A result of this.
Yeah,
they are just unbelievably brilliant.
They are. They really are.
And you forget
brilliant.
That.
But I assume it started out in some way. I mean, how did it all kick off?
Yeah, like it started out. Like, Graham Linnan and Arthur Matthews they lived in the UK. It's a slightly longer story than this, but the in a nutshell, they were writing for other TV shows in the UK, like The Fast Show and other comedy shows on the BBC at the time. But they had an idea for a comedy mockumentary called Irish Lives, and it was going to be six episodes. Each focusing on a different character living somewhere in Ireland. And one of the episodes was centred around a priest named Father Ted Crilly, who visits his friends in the seminary in Maynooth, the Maynooth College Seminary. So they brought the six episodes, and apparently the producer who was going to do this thing says, hang on a second, lads. The one with Father Ted Crilly, let's turn that into a sitcom. Let's go. This is the way we need to go. Let's do this and turn this into a sitcom. And therefore, Father Ted was born from, you know, like everything else, just a small part of another broader scheme. And that's how it came to make it onto
TV. Amazing. Let's talk about the main man himself. Let's talk about Father Ted Crilly, played by the late, great Dermot Morgan. He was a mixed up sort of a fellow, wasn't he?
He was. He was kind of anti-religious in some ways, but and non-religious in some ways, and then he would also pray. But it was just a job to him. And he, you know, himself and Father Dougal Maguire, they're just two people who happen to be priests. But like, you know, Ted, he's a decent guy. Like he has cheap ambitions, and you know, he doesn't want to be seen to be a priest, but he's not afraid to flash the collar when he wants to get free tickets to the cinema. But and lived in a constant state of embarrassment. But you know, here's a short clip of some of his greatness.
Does he have much of a family?
Yes,
his parents are alive, and he has a brother, I think, a doctor in America.
A doctor, wow.
You wouldn't believe that, would you? But that used to be quite common, you know. The favourite son would become a doctor, and then the idiot brother would be sent off to the priesthood.
Your brother's a doctor, isn't he?
Yes.
Now, some people might say that it was actually Father Dougal Maguire, played by Ard O'Hanlon, that made it such a hit. I mean, he had some iconic one-liners, didn't he?
Yeah, one of the writers, Graham Lennon, said that Dougal Maguire was the secret weapon.
Yeah.
They didn't realise at the time. The show took off so quickly because he was so instantly funny and so likeable as well at the same time. And Ard O'Hanlon, who brilliantly played Dougal, has said that he, when he was envisaging the character, he wanted to make it like a dog as well. So that it was so if you think about Dougal, he's very puppyish, he's very lovable, and he's very, very loyal to Ted. And they took it to such an extent. And there's one scene in one of the episodes where Dougal has his head out the window of the back of the car, looking out as if he's a dog. This is a nod to his own idea that it would be a dog. But let's have a listen to the lovable man himself in action here.
Oh, wait till I tell you, Ted. Funland's coming to Craggy Island. Oh, yes, this is the fairground thing. I wouldn't have much interest in that type of thing myself, to be honest.
They've got a spider baby. You know, it's kind of a freak show thing, you know. It's got the body of a spider, but it's actually a baby.
How is it a baby? Does it have a nappy on it or something?
No.
Well, does it have the head of a baby?
No.
Well, if it looks like a spider and it doesn't actually gurgle at you or anything, how do you know it's actually a baby?
They keep it in a pram.
Yeah. Now, we have to talk about the main woman herself, who was holding her own in this sitcom, wasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Pauli McLean, who played the housekeeper, famous housekeeper, Mrs. Doyle, of the Go On, Go On, Go On, Go On, Go On, Go On fame. Like, the thing about her was everybody has a Mrs. Doyle in their extended family, the aunt or someone you'd visit who would, you know, load you up on tea, yeah, give you a brandy at 11 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, and
that's
give
so
you
true.
And give you sandwiches. But I saw that Pauli McLean has said that of all the characters, she's probably the one that's kind of dated the most. All the rest of them still, you know, are quite relevant today because, you know, these women are sort of disappearing in Irish society. Yeah. They're not really around anymore, and they're starting to disappear. All the rest of them are still parts of our life. But I didn't want to do a Go On, Go On clip because we've heard that a million times. We all know what that is. But this is a fab moment where Mrs. Doyle tells Ted about the romantic novel that she's reading.
I read a bit of one of them once. God, I couldn't finish it. The language.
It's a bit gritty, but that's the modern world, Mrs. Doyle.
Yeah, it was a bit much for me, Father. Feck this and feck that.
Yes, Mrs. Doyle.
You big bastard. Oh, dreadful language. You big hairy arse. You big fecker. Fierce stuff. And of course, the F word, Father. Bad F word. Worse than feck. You know the one I mean.
Yes, I do, Mrs. Doyle.
F you. F your effing wife. Oh, I don't know why they have to use language like that. I stick this effing pitchfork up your hole. Oh, that was another one. Oh, yes.
Oh, so good. But if you stand back from it, the show is... It's a family sitcom, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a sitcom because... You know, the father Ted is the dad. Dougal is the kind of, you know, the daft son, and Father Jack Hackett, you know, who says drink feckin' girls. He's the sozzle granddad, and the mother is clearly Mrs. Doyle. So, you know, what seems like a fairly kind of unusual comedy is actually quite not formulaic. That's the wrong word because it's so brilliant and that does it a disservice. But it sort of follows a certain a type of pattern, like a bit like Bridget and Eamon, the series that you guys did. Mm. You know, they all sort of fall into a kind of a classic kind of setup to make them work. So when you look at it that way, it is just kind of a classic sitcom. And I'm like, from you who has, you know, made a really good comedy, three or four seasons even, mm-hmm. You must have a particular understanding of how to get how you must have an extra admiration for how this worked so well.
Unbelievable. That's what I'm saying.
From actually making these programs.
I don't even want to talk about what we did in the presence of this, because this was just a phenomenal piece of work. You know what I mean? And such a shame that we only witnessed three of them. You know, I mean, this could have gone on and on. And interestingly, Orty actually turned it down. Before it went,
I think that could be actually mythical.
I don't know.
I don't think that's the case.
That's what I heard. Well, I believe it.
Well, you're in the business, and you maybe know, but what I heard differently. I heard that they went straight to the production company in the UK, Hattrick, and Channel 4, and they said yes straight away, and therefore it wasn't even offered to RT in the first place.
Well, looking at that, they did. I think if you look back at interviews with Graham Linehan, he would have said he was calling the phone here.
Yeah, I'm not really. If anyone could clarify that, that would be great.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It was a huge part of our lives and British people.
It changed my life completely. Yeah. You know, that and The Office changed my life. I could not believe how funny it was. I couldn't believe what I was seeing on television. they'd got Irish society and priests and what we how we view that whole world so right and made it so funny as well. I was rolling around the place. Speaking of rolling around the place, I think it's fair to say that it would have been our first exposure in Britain and Ireland to Graham Norton. He played Father Noel Furlong. I just couldn't believe how brilliant he was. And here, to tell you, here's a classic moment where he brings, you know, he's optimistic, he loves life, and he's in a grave situation where Ted and a gang of teenagers, they're trapped in a cave, their life is in danger, and this is what he does.
Who can screech the loudest? Let's have a screeching competition. I'll go first. Ah! Jerry Fields, your go.
I'd rather not, Father.
Oh, go on. Ah! Easy.
I really think we should think about trying to get out of here.
Oh, God, Ted, maybe you're right. If we don't get out, we might have to eat each other. You know, like in that film Alive, where they get into the plane crash and then they have to eat all their friends. Look, here's me eating Tony. Yum, 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 yum.
I just got a text in. Father Ted is brilliant in the annual festival. Ted Fest is equally random. I met my wife there. We're together now 8 years and two kids later.
And I believe that Ted Fest, it happens on one of the Aran Islands, is that right? And they couldn't, when Ted Fest first started, they couldn't figure out who was going to, which island was going to take, going to have it, host it. So I think they had a five-a-side football match.
Stop it.
To decide who had it first. I'm pretty sure that
Inishmore.
Happened. Inishmore, so it's on Inishmore. Yeah. I think maybe it happens on another one of the other islands as well. I'm not 100% sure.
But there were loads of characters when you look back. You go, oh my God, Tommy Tiernan was in it. He was in it. There, you know what I mean? It's crazy to think of the amount of people
there
who
is.
Made appearances in it.
Like so, and some of the other smaller parts had a huge impact on audiences as well. Like Father Stone, the really boring priest, and Father Larry Duff, who always had a terrible accident when Ted rang him on the phone. But but my favourite was Pat Mustard, the milkman. He was the milkman. You must watch Father Ted if you've never seen it. Yeah, he's the milkman with the moustache, and he's going around the place with his hairy chest and all that. And the episode is called Speed 3. He's played by the late Pat Laffin, and Mrs. Doyle fell under his spell and Ted didn't approve at all. Check this out. It's so good.
Hello, Father. Pat was wondering if he could put his massive tool in my box.
What? How dare you?
Yeah, it's too big for the milk float. I'll pick it up tomorrow.
I know what's going on, Pat Mustard. There are some very hairy babies on Craggy Island, and I think you are the hairy baby maker.
Well, I think that you would need proof if you're going to make that sort of an accusation. And I'm a very careful man, Father.
Except when it comes to taking precautions in the bedroom.
No, you wouldn't be advising the use of artificial contraception, Father, would you?
Yes, I... If you're going to be... I, of course, you... Just back off!
Just got a text in. I came to Ireland 18 years ago from Tanzania. I had no idea about anything regarding Ireland besides Father Ted. It used to come on the telly once a week back then. Amazing, wonderful memories.
But that's it though. You know, you actually would learn an awful lot about Ireland from watching Father Ted. But you mentioned Tommy Tiernan a little earlier, and he features in one episode. I think it's just one episode, and he's a young man. And a young priest who goes to Ted when experiencing doubt about his faith, and Ted deals with it in his usual tender way. And listen to Tommy's voice in this. It's so much deeper than it is now.
I feel as if I should tell someone where my thoughts have been leading me these past few weeks, down some very dark and disturbing alleys. I'm experiencing what you might know as the dark night of the soul.
Hold on a second, Kevin. Do you mind if I put on some music?
No. I've begun to be plagued by doubts. Doubts about... Oh, God. I mean, what if none of it's true?
Who's the black private dick's sex machine and all shit? Shaft!
I know it's hard to appreciate that on radio, but Ted's idea of fixing this problem was to put on a Shaft, you know, a funk record from the 70s. I don't know how, but it just works. It's
You're
so
right, Tommy Tiernan sounds very, very different there as a young man in that
clip.
Yeah,
he's a very young man.
We have to talk about Father Jack, my favourite.
Is he?
Yeah. He was just, I suppose, because if I met the late great Frank Kelly years ago, and he's such a gent and a very distinguished actor. And just the characterization he did with Father Jack and the difference and how different he is. It's just a phenomenal transformation. The voice, the everything. It was it's quite a thing to witness, you know, because he's very posh.
He's a very learned man. He studied law. Yeah. He was training to be, he was going to be a barrister. But he always wanted to act, and he was a really scholarly man. And when you meet him, he's, you know, he's not Father Jack by any means, which is the transformation is mad. And I read that the rest of the cast wouldn't eat with him when he was in full makeup because he made them feel sick, you know, because they used to put oatmeal and glue on his face and bits of rubber. And he said that was it was a very itchy part to play because he was covered in all this kind of weird stuff. Funnily enough, you can imagine after the series went, you know, supernova, that people would be shouting arse, feck, drink at Frank Kelly everywhere he went. And they did. And you'd expect him to have been, oh, jeez, I wish people would just leave me alone and stop. But he was very good-natured about it because, like, it was happening all the time. And he would respond to them and shout drink and feck and arse back at them on the streets, which I think is a really, you know, exhausting thing to do, but an admirable one nonetheless. Now, again, I didn't want to just play a drink feck arse clip, so this is a different type of Father Jack clip here right now.
I've listened to this. Who's for tea?
Me, please, Mrs. Doyle.
Tea! Feck!
I'm fine, Mrs. Doyle.
And what do you say to a cup?
Feck off, cup!
He loves his cup of tea.
Feck off!
There you go.
Feck off!
Right, Father.
I just love that so much.
It's mind-boggling. It is seriously, don't dismiss it. You said, oh, I saw it loads of years ago.
No, watch it again. Watch it again. But I want to finish up by talking about the ultimate dance tune that needs to be re-released and the song that we all know and sing and is up there with the Irish anthem, My Lovely Horse.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because originally Neil Hannon from the Divine Comedy does all the music for Father Ted. But they originally went to the band Pulp to ask them. They were the ones who were going to do the music. Pulp turned them down. So the lads moved on to Neil Hannon, the Divine Comedy, and luckily they did because he just created just the best music that you can imagine and some of the most iconic tunes that we all still love to sing today, like this one.
I don't know how they made it. I mean, you know, with the laughter. Like, how do you get through this? How do they make it on time and deliver it? Because, I mean, working on comedy shows through the years, I mean, sometimes you're creased over with the laughter, and it gets to a point where it's infuriating for directors and people on set because you just can't get through it. How did they get through half of the stuff? I don't know. Cormac, we're going to go to the phone lines with somebody on the line. Her name is Sarah. Sarah, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I was just listening to you talking about it. I couldn't resist but to text in.
Yeah, tell us what you text in.
So I was one of the original lovely girls. I was 14, pretending I was 16. And my two sisters were also in the lovely girl competition. So one of them was Mary with the lovely bottom. That's my sister Elsha. And then my other older sister Marie exceeded the 6-inch kind of sandwich competition.
Oh my God. Well, I feel quite honoured and privileged
too.
To have
I'm
one of the lovely girls on the show.
I'm a bit
starstruck.
I'm a bit
I am
starstruck completely.
We were just locals, like, in the area. So my dad is a matchmaker called Willie Daly, and he knew the casting kind of manager. Hmm. And so he said, put in my girls. They'll go into anything. And we got paid £50, because it was pounds back then. And
not
we
bad.
Were just like, wow. And a free meal. We were like, this is amazing. But we had no idea. Like, Ireland hadn't shown, or RTÉ hadn't been, you know, showing the actual programme. And this, I think, was the second season. So we had no idea how big it actually was going to become, or that for years later there'd be the ongoing Lovely Girl competition in that festival you were talking about over in Aran Island.
Yeah,
and
Ted
of course
Fest.
They do it in hen parties as well. They do the Father Ted's hen party in our area, where they go to the house and stuff and for tea and sandwiches. So, yeah.
Now, listen, Sarah, you were a young woman at the time. Can you just describe what was it like on set?
So we couldn't quite understand what the jokes were, because they hadn't been edited and pieced together. So the very start of the day, it was actually one of the actors just hammering and beating up this chair, saying, shoddy workmanship, shoddy, shoddy workmanship. And we couldn't get it. We're like, okay. Why? Until you see the whole thing like pieced back together, and we see that he goes around breaking everything, testing it. Obviously, Mary with the lovely bottom, Father, you can't say that. We got that joke. That was funny.
Okay.
And it was hard not to laugh. Like, you'd have to retake a few times. But really, Frank Kelly was kind of the star. So in town, it was filmed in our area in Ninistymon. And then we'd get to see them around the town. And Frank Kelly was an absolute pure gentleman.
Yeah.
We had a pub called Daly's Bar. And I'd interviewed him for a school project. And he came up to the bar. I said, would you come up to the bar? Because he played the fiddle. And he played it very, very well. He was an absolute talented man. And yeah, so he was really, really, really sweet. He integrated into the town and was very, very, very nice. You know, to see around. And it did change. It changed the quality in the town, for sure.
It must have been great to have that excitement around the
town.
Yeah,
like, obviously there was income, because all these people were staying in the local hotel.
Yeah,
and
boosting the economy.
Kind of boosting, yeah. But it was also just like this buzz of, like, this is, you know, eventually by the end of the 3 months they were filming, we knew this was going to be kind of, you know, a big enough deal. I think through Channel 4, and it was really, really great.
What was it like watching yourself back?
Well, you know, you're only on for a few seconds at a time, so.
But to be part of it.
Yeah, to be part of it, and like to have the, like, we've got photographs of us in Laura Ashley dresses.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were just like, no, we have to wear Laura Ashley dresses. No, but we were still getting £50, so it was worth it.
You're paid well back then. Fair play. I have to ask, do you and the sisters, do you still have lovely bottoms?
I can't ask that question, yeah. Sarah, but I was thinking
that. We've still got fairly decent bottoms. Yeah.
Well, it's lovely. It's lovely to chat to you. And thanks so much for getting in touch with the show. And best say hi to your sisters. Cormac can't speak.
Send us your autograph, will you, Sarah?
Thanks, Sarah. Bye, bye, bye. There we go, Sarah Daly there. One of the original lovely girls in one of the episodes. Listen into the show there. Just amazing. I mean,
I wasn't expecting that, Jen.
I wasn't expecting that.
That's just unbelievable.
Can I ask, was there ever an attempt to remake this in America, you know, like they do with The Office and that kind of
thing?
Yeah,
there was a number of attempts to make it. Three or four.
Really?
Yeah, and like there was one particular version that was going to have Steve Martin and Graham Norton play Ted and Dougal. And Steve Martin was allegedly going to get $500,000 an episode, and Graham Norton was going to be filmed outside New York. And it never happened. A few other attempts. It's sad that it was never made because, like The Office, I'm sure it would have tapped into something in American culture as well that would have been huge. You know, big fans of the show, like, are a lot of Americans actually. Madonna, Steven Spielberg says it's one of his favourite programmes ever. Jim wow. Carrey, Cher. And he, Bono, I think, requested at one point to try and get in on it, on the action as well. But no, that
Didn't
never
happen.
Happened.
Didn't happen.
But yeah, so it, will it ever happen in America? It could still happen
no.
in America.
No.
It could still.
No. Don't touch
I
it.
I don't want it to happen. I don't want it, don't anything else to happen to it. But it could do, you know.
Just watch the reruns. It was very sad how the curtain came down on the last series.
Yeah, it really was, because obviously Dermot Morgan is no longer with us, and he died at the age of 45, so young.
Was he 45?
He was only 45 when he died, and he died the day after they finished filming the third series. They finished, and then he died the following day. But he did say, he died of a heart attack, but he did say that there was... he wasn't going to play Father Ted again before that, as far as I know, because he didn't want to be typecast as Father Ted, which I'd say the die was cast at that point, but he could have dined off Father Ted for the rest of his life, no problem. But there was no plan for a fourth series. They'd agreed there was going to be no fourth series. And ironically, the last scene that never went out would have been Father Ted standing on the ledge of a building ready to jump. But they decided, obviously, that this wasn't really appropriate, and they went out with a montage of Ted's best remembered moments instead, to round up the whole thing. So, yeah, it did end quite sadly to a large degree, but what a monument, what a legacy. What a legacy.
Do you have a good buzz looking through all that?
Oh, my God. As I said earlier on, I'm going back.
I'm going
to watch the whole lot again. It's just, this is brilliant. I suggest everyone should do the same if they haven't been there for a long time.
Well, listen, thanks so much for doing that and bringing us those amazing clips. And thanks for Sarah, who texted in, called into the show.
Yeah.
Just epic, one of the original lovely girls. I'm sure if you turn on your telly and run through the channels, like Cormac said, you will find Father Ted on there somewhere, and go and rewatch it and relove it, because it is one of the greatest things that Ireland can be proud of. Now, there's only one way to finish this, and we have to do it one more time. Thank you.
Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.